and welcome. It's our number one. Our number one of our podcast repackaged with limited commercial interruption. And this hour dedicated to the NFL, a hybrid hour mixing college and pro football. It is a toxic brew. Buy or sell. Jacksonville coach Urban Meyer's denial of interest in the USC job. I will hold your hand and walk you through this story. Now, we are on Team Urban, but this was a very troubling answer to that question. We'll get into it right now. It is our number one. Rumor mongering. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we deal with the whys and the wherefores, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the eye of the hurricane, the Fox Sports Radio studios in a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour comes from the speculation machine of football, a place we like to go quite a bit. Consider this the 6 degrees of Urban Meyer. Now, earlier this week, there was a prominent college football coaching job that opened up. Also, over the weekend, an NFL team that plays in Jacksonville, Florida, looked like they had never practiced football before when they took the field. So those two things have fused together and created a bit of a wildfire over the last couple of days. And the Jacksonville coach, Urban Meyer, has finally addressed, I say finally, it's only been a couple of days, but he has addressed the chatter about his return to college football. And if you did not hear, maybe not, it happened early. I was sleeping. It was overnight for me. It happened in the middle of the night. I was fast asleep. But I woke up and I saw it. Urban Meyer answering to the speculation that he may end up leaving Jacksonville behind after a season or less in the middle of the night and going off to Southern California. Well, as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay, so he said, there's no chance I'm here and committed to building an organization or build an organization. That was the quote verbatim, by the way, verbatim from Urban Meyer. So let us discuss the question. Do you buy or sell Jacksonville coach Urban Meyer's denial of interest in the USC job? So I am selling. My thoughts on this. You've got language, Pulitzer, and Venn diagram. And we will tie all of these things together, and those will be the foundational pieces of this Maller monologue. Now, Urban Meyer as an NFL head coach, the book has not been written. Some seem to think the book has been written. I am not one of those people. It is mid-September of the first sojourn for Urban Meyer. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be the worst coach in NFL history. It doesn't mean he's going to be a great NFL coach like Pete Carroll or Jimmy Johnson, some college coaches that crossed over and did very well. It doesn't mean that he's going to leave in a month or 2 months or next week. That said, this particular story has legs. And there are several different ways to judge the believability of someone answering a question. You have both the words and the language, but the body language is the big thing here. That's the real thing here. And on the Maller report card, Urban Meyer asked the question about USC. His response gets on the Maller grading book an F. It gets an F. He's actually added fuel to the fire. He's managed to make this more of a story by his answer. He earned a red check mark for failing what's known as the 738-55 rule. It's a lot of numbers there. But the rule, essentially, I'll sum it up in layman's terms. The rule states that only 7% of a message is based on the words. Just 7%. 38% come from the tone of your voice. And 55% from body language, the expression on your face, how you look to another human being. So while the words, if you read the words, and you can't read them because we're on radio, they don't sound bad. They don't sound bad. There's no chance I'm here and committed to building this the organization. That was the quote, right? No chance. I'm here, committed to building an organization. The tone, though, the tone and the body language flopping around like a dead fish. Urban Meyer mumbled and stumbled. And then you've got the body language, which you cannot see because we're on the audio platform here. But my God, where do I begin? Urban was fidgeting. He was moving his arms around to show off his pot belly. Not a good look. And then in the middle of the answer, right, middle of his answer there, he put his head down and closed his eyes. And so what I did is I immediately went to my personal Bible for lying, the FBI handbook to lying. It was written by an ex-FBI officer and what they look to determine whether someone's lying. And right there, among the most common things that people do when they're lying, Urban Meyer, dead giveaway. It was a dead giveaway. Closing his eyes for more than 1 second. And they say in the handbook on lying that anytime you're answering a question, you're speaking, and you keep your eyes closed for more than 1 second at a time, it's something people often do when they are lying. Right, lying, bad look. All right, now, part B of this. Then you have the reporter, and I say that in air quotes. You have the reporter asking the question. Now, I don't know who that person is. I don't know. Maybe they're decorated in journalism. Could be, right? Certainly sounded like whoever asked that question was someone on the team payroll. Could it have been a Jacksonville PR assistant? Or someone that wants to be a Jacksonville PR assistant, the Jags web guy, jagwires.com, local media hack who's a fanboy. Now, I understand that the media has become as soft as you could possibly want it to become, and it's sports, and who cares, and I hear that counter-argument and all that. But this is a new low. This was so egregious. I was texting some friends of mine in radio that I've known for a while, and we're like, this is a plant. That's a plant. That sounded like a plant. The way the question was asked, the way it was phrased, the whole thing. Like, hey, Urban, let me get this out of the way for you. It's an inconvenience. You talk about stacking the deck. The term is stacking the deck, leading the witness. Can we play that again? You got to listen to the question. Can we play? Just play the beginning part here. It's not that long a soundbite anyway, but the reporter who asked the question, listen to the way the question was asked. And just you'll roll your eyes, even if you don't even care about the media and you think all the media is fake. This is a pathetic, embarrassing question.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. So right away, the reporter, the opening salvo, making Urban like the victim. Like he's somehow the victim because his name was connected with a great college football job. And I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it. And so you can put it to bed. Well, that's a Pulitzer Prize piece of journalism. Somewhere, Walter Cronkite's rolling over in the grave. William Randolph Hearst, Hunter S. Thompson. My God. It's just crazy. He even tossed in at the end of it. He tossed in the okay at the end of it. Like, okay, Urban, I'm sorry I had to do that. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. You can't make this up. You can't do it. Now, the last word on this. So the Urban Meyer story, we know it's not going to go away. And every time Jacksonville goes out and performs like a peewee football team, you can add more fuel to the flame. And they were struggling with the basics. blocking and tackling. If you can't block and you can't tackle, how are you going to win any games? Now, if that continues, the drumbeat is obviously going to grow louder. But if you take a look at the Venn diagram and you can compare and contrast college coaches who go to the NFL and then take a peek over at the side where Urban Meyer's resume, and it's on top of each other, Urban Meyer's resume, and it's staring at you right between your eyes there. You look at Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban, Bobby Petrino, and a gaggle of other coaches who did belly whoppers. And that's why many people are convinced that Urban Meyer's going to take a number from the deli counter and leave. Most college coaches flame out in the pros and run back to the college game. Now, I believe Urban will be different. And I could look like a total jackass when this is all done. And they're not off to a good start. But Jacksonville wasn't built in a day. And Urban is known as a job hopper. We had him on when I was in a weekend show in the early days of Fox Sports Radio. He was coaching at Utah. And we had Urban on regularly on a show that I did because a guy I worked with, Chris Landry, was a buddy of Urban's. And so we had him on quite a bit. And then he went to Florida when he was supposed to go to Notre Dame, but he went to Florida instead. And then he skipped off to Ohio State. He's a coaching hobo. And the USC job's a good job. It's one of these sleeping giant jobs with good infrastructure, a lot of money, LA. There's a lot to it to like. You can own the Pac-12. You don't have to go to the SEC or, well, he was at the job Ohio State where they owned the Big Ten. But the point is they have the same setup. Like Ohio State runs roughshod over pretty much everybody in the Big Ten. You'd have the same setup at SC with Urban Meyer. Again, I think he's going to stay at least for a few years in Jacksonville and have some success. I do not believe he's going to leave. I would be disappointed if he leaves. I would be. But there's also a lot of people in NFL circles that are openly cheering for him to make this a kamikaze mission. Urban Meyer is not welcome. He is an interloper. This guy's an outsider. He's an outsider. He's crashed the gates of the National Football League. He's uninvited. And those lifers, the NFL lifers, the old school, the old guard, they love to brag about how difficult it is and how tough NFL football is, not for everybody, and you can't just come in here as a college coach and have success. If Urban ends up actually succeeding and turns Jacksonville into a good, consistent playoff threat, which is, I believe, the ceiling for Jacksonville, then it makes the other guys look bad. So they want Urban to fail. They want him to suck. And so one game he sucked. And it's not looking good for game two. And you look down the schedule and you're like, wow, this is, if you can't beat the Texans, who the hell are you going to beat? But it's never as dark as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think it is. So it's somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. You might try blocking and tackling. That would be a good start. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, we'll take your phone calls. The lines are open for business. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Also available on Twitter. You can get inside the matrix. Take the red or the blue pill and comment on the monologue or the show or anything in general. We might even read it on the air. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Maller, and we will take your real-time feedback. And straight ahead, that is some crunchy, spicy ketchup. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people, and the Maller Militia get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox.
It's so big, I don't think you could really kind of get your mouth around it. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Later on in the the overnight. If you're with us all night, we'll have the third degree. That'll be coming up in hour number two. Ask Ben. So get your questions in early. Hashtag Ask Ben.
Who?
In hour three, you can ask Ben and friends, anyone on the show. You can ask us questions, and we'll attempt to answer them for a half an hour or so. Got Puck the World later, Factor Fiction, the whole thing. Robin Vegas writes in, says, that denial was very Nick Saban-esque. Urban Meyer is such a scumbag, personally. Do you think there's enough future murders on the USC roster to seriously lure him to California? Because we know how much Urban Meyer loves to coddle alleged murderers. F. Altuve, that's Rob in Vegas, who's a former Michigan man and has tremendous disdain for Urban Meyer. But Nick Saban's the reference, right? Nick Saban, the gold standard of lying right to your face, late December 2006, coaching the Miami Dolphins, a mediocre Dolphin team. Nick Saban, another failed NFL coach, and a lot of Nick Saban surrogates trying to make excuses for him failing and not getting it done. And there was a rumor that had popped up on the NFL's website around that time that Nick Saban was going to go coach Alabama. And Nick Saban came out and addressed the reporters in Miami, and he attempted to dance around the story, saying that he doesn't read the internet at that time, and he doesn't have email, and he doesn't do any of that stuff. He just downplayed the whole thing. And then he finally said, I guess I have to say, this is a quote, I guess I have to say it, I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. And within 2 weeks, he was the Alabama coach. So take that for what it's worth. Who else do we have? Let's see. Page down. The burner account says, that was a great breakdown from the Maller PI department. Look at you all the way down to the details. And you're right. The reporter sounded like a plant. We all know, and you've preached, it's never believe a coach, and we've seen it. A la Saban. All weasel words. A-. James the Machinist, hard at work in the Twin Cities, says, I couldn't help but notice that Coach Meyer didn't say what type of organization he was going to help build in Jacksonville. The scripted answer should have been building a winning organization. Seems to show just how uncomfortable he was answering the question with a lie. Brian says, that was the most bipolar opening monologue I've ever heard. Which is it? Urban is lying and will be one and done or staying put? No. Here's the answer, Brian. You didn't listen. I recommend going to an ear doctor, or maybe you can get a Q-tip and clean out the orange gunk in your ear, Brian, because you're not listening properly. Your listening retention skills are not good. I was pointing out that I am in the camp that Urban's going to stay in Jacksonville, but reading the body language of Urban and the way that he spoke does not give me much confidence. He sounded like all these other coaches that said one thing but meant the other. So that's the monologue in a nutshell. I can sum it up in a couple of sentences. I am on Team Urban. I've done several monologues. I think he's going to be a good NFL coach. He knows how to coach. I remember when he was at Utah and before he got to Florida and Ohio State, and he had all these amazing players year after year, and he just could pick whoever he wanted. Before that, he knew how to coach. So if you know how to coach, you got decent players, you should be able to have success. So I'm on that camp. But I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here. And Urban sounded like the kind of guy that we've seen before, where he had the bad body language and he was waffling and dancing around and seemed like the kind of a guy that had one foot out the door. Anthony in Anaheim says, Ben, you used to literally make it up when you had a rumor website. No, that is not true, Anthony. I was aggregating, and the great thing about that, when I had BenMaller.com years ago, is that I started out just aggregating rumors, and then after a while, people started telling me stuff that I had no business knowing about. And then I developed a network of people. I'll talk about that later, but as the night goes on, but I had people that would send me stuff that they just, it was great. For a while, I was on the pulse of everything. That was
unbelievable. I was like a made man in the sporting world for a few years, but the money sucked and the hours were terrible. And I stopped doing it. So, but I could always, you know, everyone's got a price. Show me some money and we can get it back. Terry in England says, what kind of monologue there? Urban sickness, Meyer, but much more importantly, how does a dead fish flop around? Well, isn't that the Asian flying carp? Don't they still flop around when they're dead? No? I don't know. I got to go. I got to see that at some point. I want to get to that. That's in the Mississippi, right? Somewhere in the Mississippi. I've seen videos of that on YouTube. There's the Asian flying carp. And if you turn on your engine on your boat, these things will come flying projectiles. And they put on a show. It's better than that show they have at the Bellagio, you know, in Vegas, the fountains with all the water everywhere. I'd rather see the flying Asian carp.
Which, racist. Did they
I know. I think they might have changed the name of that, but that's what I knew them as. I don't
racist.
Know. I know. I think that now that I'm saying it, I think they might have changed the name of it, but I don't know what the new name is. So Lee in Phoenix writes and says, "Hey Ben, is Doc Mike still in the greater Phoenix metropolitan area? Is there a way to contact him, or did you know where he's staying? I would love to meet and greet Doc Mike." Well, Lee, I think Doc told us that he was flying back to Chicago. He called in yesterday. I think he was heading back that same day. So, but he does have a website. I will not give out his website because Doc's a Looney Tune, but you can find his website. He's easy to find, and he has a phone number on there, and he does actually answer the phone. And I recommend, Lee, that you give your cell phone number to Doc Mike. Because I promise you, Doc will only call you once. He will lose your number, and it'll be a wonderful, beautiful relationship. You'll have nothing to worry about. It'll be great. And he'll only call you one time, and then he'll forget it. Just like he doesn't call Fats in Philly, our guy in Philly, nonstop, or me. But with you, it'll be great. Right, so crunchy ketchup. Crunchy ketchup, we take you now to New Jersey. That is where the New York Giants played host to the Denver Broncos at MetLife Stadium, a game that would be won by Denver. But the story here, the better story, is in the losing concession stand. Have you heard what was served? Allegedly, in case the lawyers are listening, allegedly, at MetLife Stadium, just across from Manhattan there in Jersey. Okay, you have not. So a New York Giant fan went to go have a nice hot dog. He wanted to have a sausage. So he went to get the wiener at the stand, and he paid a lot of money for it, and he wanted to have ketchup. Wanted to have some ketchup on his hot dog. So he broke the golden rule of no ketchup. He wanted ketchup on his dog. He then was shocked at what he saw when he went to take a bite in said hot dog. And he then held up the hot dog and recorded to document everything for posterity's sake. And it looks to me, and I've looked at the video here, I've analyzed it, that there is a maggot with an M, a maggot inside the ketchup. And one of the great quotes of all time, it's like the Hindenburg. It's, bro, there's straight up maggots in the ketchup. That's the quote. It's like, bro, I'm risking my life, bro. Well, you really would be risking your life.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, bro.
Yeah, that is nasty was another quote. The video is readily available. You can find the video there, and it does look like that thing has a lot of maggots crawling around there in the ketchup, which is pretty bad. Now, you know, these food stories are always like, well, is this a plant? Did somebody do this to get, you know, viral video on TikTok or something like that? The reason that I think there's some legitimacy to this is because Delaware North, I don't know if you know Delaware North, but they are the official concessionaire at MetLife Stadium, and they released a prepared statement about the ketchup gone bad. The ketchup gone bad. And they pointed out that, here's the statement, It's a boilerplate statement. We take the sanitation of our facilities extremely seriously. Upon learning well prior to kickoff Sunday that a single ketchup vessel had been compromised. I like how they call it a ketchup vessel. Was it going to sail off in the Atlantic? Anyway, the quote continues. The ketchup vessel had been compromised. We took immediate action and discarded the vessel and thoroughly inspected other condiment stations. Oh, yeah, so vessels and stations. As an additional precaution, Delaware North said in their prepared statement, we are sanitizing all condiment pumps and increasing the availability of single-serve condiment packets, they said in their prepared statement. Now, keep in mind, this is PR 101, right? They tell you if something bad happens, never actually admit exactly what happened. There's no reference to maggots in the ketchup, right? It's just there was a single ketchup vessel compromised. It didn't say how it was compromised. It didn't go into details and said everything is good to go. Now, I know there's a lot of lawyers in the New York metropolitan area. There's a lot of lawyers everywhere. Every year, on average, there's 60,000 people that become lawyers. Every year, past the bar. You know there's going to be a lawsuit, right? Somebody's going to sue. It's going
to
happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
We go to the NFL, and bad news for the Dallas Cowboys as defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a broken foot in practice on Wednesday. He will be out of action for 6 to 8 weeks, according to
They should just cancel practice, Eddie. These guys get hurt in practice. That's what the NBA would do.
You say that, but they might do it.
I'll bet you within 10 years, NFL teams stop practicing. I'll bet you that.
It'll be virtual practice?
Yes, yes. Yeah, because the NBA has already done it. They're like load management. And you know the dummies who are like the NBA that think that's acceptable? The football fans are just as stupid. They'll be like, oh, yeah, you can't practice because guys get hurt in practice. I want to save all the injuries only for Sunday. Sunday at 1 o'clock, that's when I want my injuries.
You can't prevent it. I mean, things happen. What are you going to do?
That's right? Life, man. You can get it. You can leave your house. You can be hurt in your house. You know, stuff could drop through the ceiling.
Especially if you're
a
baseball player.
You can fall down the stairs or whatever. You can, get burned cooking in the kitchen or, hell, even making a cup of coffee. All right. Anyway, the Maller Militia, very vocal. A lot to say. And Robin Vegas says, after that vomit-inducing story, I may have to give up ketchup for a while. It is odd. Now, I realize that we're all, depending, when we meet our demise, we're all eventually food for maggots. But I get that. But still, why would they be in the ketchup? I don't understand. I don't get it.
I saw that. Pretty disgusting, man.
Ugh. You saw the video, right?
Yeah. That's
Do they just eat everything? They don't care? I thought they just like the human flesh or whatever. You know, when you die, they'll eat you. But I didn't realize they...
I've recently had to deal with maggots.
Really? In your hair or what?
What? No.
By the way, Roberto, that's a drop.
Oh, man. Why don't I even tell stories on this show? No, it was...
Got him!
So stupid. No, it was trash day the other day.
Oh no, not a trash day. Oh no.
Oh yeah, cool. I seen that on the trash can.
I bring the trash cans to the curb when I get home from work, so it's like, 4 in the morning or whatever. And it's all like there's all this condensation all over the trash cans, and I go to bring it to the curb and it's covered in maggots.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Oh, like disgusting. 100 of them. Oh, it was nasty. I had to go inside the house and grab gardening gloves and it was nasty.
There's a reason trash delivery people get paid a lot of money. That's can you imagine having that job? And especially like in the hot summer.
You mean you sit in the truck and push a button and they
Well, no, that's some of them do. That's true. That's a good point. Well, no, but that's fair. That's fair. But where I used to live, they actually had to pick the trash cans up.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, they had to pick it up.
No, but even where I lived before, I just moved. Where I live now, it's everything's, they have robot garbage. Yeah, they have robot garbage trucks. That the claw comes out and picks the thing up and all that. But, yeah. The sanitation, I remember New York, the sanitation, when they would go on strike, the sanitation workers. Vin Scully told an amazing story one time years ago when I was around him a lot. When he was a kid growing up, they had the people that take care of the trash in New York went on strike. And trash was, you know, piles up when they're even working. When the sanitation people in New York City are working, the trash piles up. You can imagine when they went on strike. And it was around the holidays, and Vince told a story about how there were some people in the neighborhood that were so desperate to get rid of the trash that they, you know, back in the, when Vin was a kid, the TVs were the size of a bus. And so somebody in the neighborhood had bought a TV, and they took the box and they filled it with trash and gift wrapped it and put it outside their place in Manhattan. And somebody stole the box thinking it was a television, and it was filled with trash. And I don't know why that story popped in my head, but it just popped in my head.
So. That is fertilizer.
Yeah, well, eventually it would be fertilizer. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says, is Uncle Dynamite, our friend in Brooklyn, in charge of the food services at MetLife Stadium? Yeah. Milkman Mike says, I didn't know that teenage vampires love eating the maggots. That's a hashtag Lost Boys. All right, let's go to the phones. And who do we have here? Oh, he's back. He's back and better than ever. Beer drinking Brian in Mizzou. He has survived a long stay in the hospital. We were very worried about beer drinking Brian, but he is back.
Well, Ben, I feel like I was in Regina's spin cycle or something for a while there, and I still do.
Yeah.
And things aren't any better. They took Sandy today to prison.
Well, no.
Hold on a second.
Half pint. We were told you're giving her. You're not giving her stage name. Half pint. We were told for 4 months she has to keep clean, and then she can come back, and then it's up to the judge to let her out. Like she's not. She wasn't sentenced to the full 5 years, right? Have you talked to her?
No. It's up to the judge after this 120. Yeah.
Yeah. So if she does, well. I think the judge will give her another opportunity. Yeah.
And you know what, Ben? Them 7 days that I was at University of Missouri Columbia, oh my God, them student nurses are so beautiful.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I mean, half pint's been gone for that long. All of a sudden, you're wandering out there. I mean, you got to be loyal to your woman there. She's in jail. Come on now.
Well, I couldn't walk, so I had to get clean somehow, and they had to do sponge bath.
Oh, jeez.
Can you imagine those poor nurses? Oh, my God. You want to be a nurse at the University of Missouri Hospital. Holy crap. You got beer drinking Brian.
Look at this, Ben. Look at this.
What?
When I got home, all my medicines were taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody stole my medicine, and it's nothing good. It's my heart medicine, my blood pressure medicine, all this stuff. Keep me alive. Somebody stole it.
Well, who took it?
I found out who took it. I can't do anything. But now it's going to cost me $193 to get everything back. I had to have the cops over here to do a police report because none of them are in trouble yet.
I've heard the cops pretty much live at your house. Is that right, Beer Drinking Brian?
They do.
Yeah. There might as well be a police precinct in your bedroom at this point, right?
They have keys to his house.
Yeah, they're sitting around watching TV waiting.
Give me rent, you mother trucker.
What did he say?
He kept it clean. He's good.
All right. Well, Beer Drinking Brian, I'm glad you're out. Listen, we missed you. Try to take care of yourself a little bit, and I guess stop drinking.
I'm trying to get there. As long as these a-holes don't keep messing with
I know. The world is out to get you. I know. The world's not out to get you.
But it's all good, as long as I got the militia on my side,
Yeah.
That's right.
You're in
exactly. You're really
alive
good.
Right now.
Yeah, that's a very powerful group, the Maryland Militia. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Beer Drinking Brian. Well, I got to move on, but it's not you. It's the clock. We'll have the MLB pick 'em. Here's the Who Am I game. We'll go to football for the Who Am I game. So Lamar Jackson has now had 17 straight games with less than 250 yards passing. That's not good. I am the quarterback who has the most consecutive games with 15 or more pass attempts and less than 250 yards passing. This goes back, I believe, to the year 2000 or 2001. So, last 20 years, Lamar Jackson has 17 straight games with less than 250 yards passing. I am the quarterback over the last 20 years who has the most consecutive games with 15-plus pass attempts and less than 250 yards passing. Who am I? The answer, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Good happens after midnight, unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, it's at Ben Maller on Fox. And you can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben coming up in the third hour of this show, or Lame Jokes coming up tomorrow. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And we will have the MLB, pick'em coming up. Who am I game? First, Trucker Joe says the maggots in the ketchup at the Giants game, he says flies get in and the bacteria gets in there. If they don't put the stuff in the refrigerator, that's how the maggots are born, from the fly. According to Trucker Joe. Anyway, here's the Who Am I game. Lamar Jackson now has 17 straight games with less than 250 passing yards. I am the quarterback who has the most consecutive games with 15 or more pass attempts and less than 250 passing yards since the year 2000. That is the question. What is the answer? And a bunch of answers coming in. Let's see here. Urban Meyer, the Gypsy from Fern. We've got Peyton Manning, his ratings sucked, from Jimmy in Maine. King Kong Bundy, the legend, from Rob in Vegas. Page down here, page down. James Earl Ray from the Militia Twitter King. Conway Twitty, guessed by Rich. That's his answer. Alan Trammell from Rob in Minnesota. Dick Clark from FinFan. Eek in Roseville, Minnesota, is going with Jamarcus Russell. Steeman Willie Beeman from Oscar. That's his selection. Bobby Hoyer from Jason in Denver. Brooks Bollinger from Arik in Minnesota. Donkey Sausage is going with Brian's Nurse as the answer. Alex Smith, guessed by Matt, the Warrior Raider Ace fan. Do you have an answer, please, Eddie? Quickly.
Tim Tebow.
No, the answer is Kyle Bowler. Remember Kyle Bowler for the Ravens?
I saw him play high school football up the road here.
Great moments in Raven football. They're very good at that. Yes. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Hit that button right there. Time now for the MLB Pick'em Daily Fantasy. And Koopaloop, it's neck and neck. You've got the first pick.
This is a rough one. I'm going to go with Kevin Gausman.
Wow. Wow.
There's not much to pick from for pitchers.
I'll take Ian Anderson, I think. Yeah. All right. Roberto.
Let's go with Bryce Harper.
All right, Eddie, quickly.
Let's go with Mike Harkey.
One more.
Leon the Bull Durham.
Good picks. Roberto.
Joey Votto.
Freddie Freeman. Coop.
Jared Walsh and Jose Abreu.
Nelson Cruz.
Herman Marquez.
Who cares?
Eddie picked the Bambino,
yeah,
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, he did.